Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Dean Sycon is an author, lawyer, human rights advocate, and social entrepreneur who has lived and worked in over 60 countries. A passionate explorer of culture and history, he has authored Java Trekker, Dispatches from the World of Fair Trade Coffee, and joins us to talk about his debut novel, Finding Home, Hungary, 1945. Finding Home deeply explores the emotional, moral, and economic complexities of the return of Jewish concentration camp survivors to their hometowns in Eastern Europe immediately after liberation in 1945. On Thursday, this Thursday at 7 p.m., Dean will be at the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts, talking about and signing his book, as well as welcoming great klezmer musicians. It's a pleasure to welcome Dean Sycon to the Roundtable this morning. Dean, how are you?
I'm great and glad to be back on the Roundtable, Joe.
Very nice to have you back on the program. What led you, was there a natural route to you taking on and wanting to write this particular story?
Well, I've been wanting to get to novels forever because I think that if you write a good book with good characters and a good story arc, anybody will pick it up and read it. But if you write nonfiction, pretty much the people who already know who you are and agree with you are the ones who buy the book. So that's the background. So I am now launching as a novelist after retiring from 30 years at Dean's Beans. So I was researching early trade routes in Europe, and I stumbled upon this incident, just a reference, to 40 Holocaust survivors going back to their small town in Poland, the town of Kielce, and the town didn't know what to do with them because all their homes had been taken over by neighbors, and so they put them in an abandoned hotel, and there was no resolution. The town was getting frustrated. The Jews were getting frustrated, and it ultimately led to conspiracy theories about stealing children and taking their blood in the basement of the hotel, which there was no basement, and ultimately violence. And I thought, oh my God, these people suffered the horrors of concentration camps for 3 and 4 years only to return home and be murdered by their neighbors. How come I didn't know about this? And so I started to do research and found that it was not a one-off incident. This kind of thing was happening all over Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union at the time. And so I thought, this needs to be told. So there's a lot of academic literature, especially from Eastern Europe, but nothing in the popular realm. So that was my start to getting this thing off the ground. And then it took me 4 years of not only the research in the archives, but also interviewing Holocaust survivors both here and in Hungary and townspeople as well.
Just what you said, the fact that it wasn't a one-off makes it all the more unusual that the knowledge of it would be more academic and less general, as you would think it would be.
I have some theories on that. And the first is that at the end of World War II, we experienced the largest forced migration of people in history. There were millions of people that were thrown out of Poland back into Germany, out of Czechoslovakia into Poland, out of Hungary into Romania. So there was this big mass migration going on. And in that, the fate of a couple of 100,000 Jewish concentration camp survivors didn't really hit the headlines. Not to mention there was still a lot of anti-Semitism and simply ambivalence to the Jewish situation in Europe at the time. Also, the Jewish experience was never really translated through the people who experienced it, our grandparents. I grew up in New York City, and there were a lot of kids whose grandparents and even parents had numbers on their arms from the camps, and nobody was talking about it. So that's one of the reasons you see this big surge of Holocaust-related novels and memoirs coming out now, is because back then, people weren't talking about it. And so I think the combination of those two things sort of explains why it got lost.
One of the things, and you set much of this story in a fictional town in Eastern Hungary, and the date is late May 1945. So bring us to that place that you created and that very real time frame?
So Laszlo Hungary is a composite of the 10 different pogrom cities and towns that I studied. And Laszlo is a cosmopolitan town. It's kind of like Northampton or maybe even Schenectady. So what it is that at that time, the Jewish population was very, very integrated. 60% of the lawyers, 50% of the doctors were Jewish. You know, there was, and when I tried to look up the names, specific Jewish names to use in the novel, I found that Hungarian Christians and Jews use the same names, which is really indicative of how much integration there was. So it became Laszlo became sort of the model for this. There was a synagogue. It got abandoned, not destroyed, but it was abandoned. And then it got taken over by the town for storage. Once again, all of this happened. And when the Jews came back and wanted to re-up the synagogue, they couldn't because their permit for having a synagogue had expired. But they didn't have enough people to form a nonprofit to open it up again. So the bureaucracy comes in. And that kind of other layer of problem for the Jewish returnees was evident in all the places I looked at. So there's just so much going on for these poor people trying to return to their homes. And Laszlo became my fictional quilt where we could play out all those experiences.
Tell us about Eva Fleiss and a 18 years old and a classical pianist.
Ava's the main protagonist. The deportations in Hungary didn't happen until late 1944, summer of 1944. And so the war was almost over. The Russians were already inside Hungary. And so the Hungarian Jews thought, well, you know, we've kind of weathered the storm. We're not like those Polish Jews. We're not like those German Jews. We've survived. And at that point, Hitler sent Eichmann in, and he set up shop in the Grand Synagogue in Budapest. And within 5 weeks, he had deported over 600,000 Hungarian Jews to Auschwitz and other camps. So Ava's family got caught up in that. And it was a surprise. People didn't know what was happening, didn't know what was coming. And you know, hundreds of thousands of those people never made it back. Ava did, but she lost the rest of her family. So all she has left is her beautiful piano in her house as she's preparing to go to the Franz Liszt Academy, the great music academy in Budapest, which she had already been accepted to before they were deported, which was only a year ago. So she comes back only to find that her home is owned now by the mayor and his wife, and the wife does not want to give the home back or even let Ava in. But she needs that piano so that she can have something to hold on to in her life. And that gets the story going. That's the inciting incident that gets the story going.
Given the location of Hungary, I assume you visited there perhaps more than once.
Yes.
What was that like, and who did you want to talk to?
I wanted to talk to Holocaust survivors. I wanted to talk to some townspeople in towns like Laszlo, where these incidents occurred, and one of them was Miskolc, which is a bigger town further towards the Romanian border. And I wanted to talk to professors and musicologists at the Franz Liszt Academy, which is a main location for the second half of the book. And I was just really welcomed by the academic community, the survivor community, and people were willing to talk about the experience that they had in the towns when the Jews came back. So, and that was guided by a number of really great academics in Hungary. So I have to give my hat off to them, and they're all acknowledged in the back of the book.
One of the things about the novel is that this is not a black and white story. Most stories aren't. There are great complexities, and it's interesting. And I'm hoping you could talk a little bit about those complex dynamics that make their way into the novel.
Well, one of the reasons I wanted to write the novel was because I found so many parallels between what's going on today in Europe, in Hungary, and here in the United States, in my estimation, around the resurgence of fascism and othering and intergenerational transmission of prejudice. So I was looking at those issues because it's instructive. History is always instructive. But what I found was that the reasons people didn't give back the property or didn't want to have anything to do with the Jews were way, way deeper than the cartoon characters you usually see in novels or movies, which are basically, we all hate Jews. So it's just, it was way more complex than that. And so I decided that for this novel, I wanted to make sure that I represented all those dynamics on the side of the townspeople so they wouldn't be cartoon characters. Maybe we could learn why people do the things they do, which seems so abhorrent. You know, what are their reasons for that? I mentioned that in one of my readings, and a guy got up in the audience, and he was very angry, and he said, there were no good reasons. I said, that's true. There were no good reasons, but people had reasons, and we really have to know what they were and understand them if we're ever going to try to combat it. And so I took a chance, in a sense, in the book by giving the townspeople their due. There are some good people. There are some bad people. There are some people who are just sort of caught in it all. And I really tried hard to represent everybody without whitewashing or papering over anything. And so a lot of the response I've gotten about the book is how wonderfully I represented the townspeople's point of view, because they are ordinary people.
As I mentioned, on Thursday, this Thursday at 7 p.m., you'll be at the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts, bringing special guests, wonderful klezmer musicians with you as well. Give us a sense of what people can expect on Thursday night.
Oh, it's evolved into a really great event. We start off with some klezmer music. It's actually Romani klezmer music, so it's the plea of the Romani people to come back home after the war. Beautiful piece. And then I start talking about why I wrote the book and some of the dynamics we're talking about now. Then they play a little bit. I start to read a little bit, representing different themes of the book. And behind me, as I'm speaking, the klezmer musicians are playing softly in pieces that reflect the tone of the reading. And then afterwards, they play a beautiful number to close it out. Nice experience.
A very special evening. It takes place Thursday, March 28th at 7 p.m. at the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. You can find out more information about that event by going to odysseybks.com. Dean Sikon's new book is Finding Home, Hungary, 1945. Dean, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Joe.